Hi, and welcome to the Get Started with Film Photography podcast. My name is Graham Young. This is the second part of the two-part episode on film. Now, this two-part episode is only one episode of the five-part series that I'm doing on film. Now, these are split episodes, but I wanted to split them up in order to keep them in manageable sizes. But then coming after this second part of the two-part episode on general film is an episode on black and white negative film, and that's the second episode. The third episode is color negative film. The fourth episode is color slide film. And then I'm going to talk about specialty film and expired film, those strange film stocks that we shoot today that we never would have thought of shooting 20 or 30 years ago. But we sought them out because our variety of film is disappearing. So we go find these other films that are available. So I'll talk about that in the fifth episode of this series on film. There are three types of film still in wide production. Now, I talked about formats. Now I'm talking about types of film. Those three types of film are black and white negative film, color negative film, and color positive film, which is also called color slide film or chrome film. So color positive film has those three names: color positive, color slide, and chrome film. We're going to start talking about black and white. So I'm going to give a little description of what black and white film is. So we start off with a base, and that base is that base plastic. And that base plastic is not yet perforated. In fact, that base plastic is usually fairly wide. I believe what they call master rolls are about 24 inches wide. I don't know that size for sure, so if I'm a little bit off, just use it as kind of a general too big to run through any camera film size. And it's just clear plastic. Then the film manufacturers make an emulsion, and of course the emulsion is gelatin and silver halide. One of the things that you will hear is the term silver gelatin. It is a silver gelatin negative or a silver gelatin print. That just means that it's the traditional film or it's traditional printing paper. So that's what silver gelatin is. So it's a light sensitive emulsion in that spread across that film blank, that clear film blank. Now, the same thing happens for color film, except that there are three layers, and those three layers have yellow, magenta, and cyan dyes in them. And the red, green, and blue dyes, what they do is they filter that light. They filter some of the light out, so they're only registering one of those three colors. In the process of developing, those layers get their color, and the three layers together sitting on top of each other, instead of turning black, they turn into one of those colors. It's a similar process for color slide film, but they go through a bleaching stage in the development, and they go through a reversal stage in the development. And so what's black turns white, and what's white turns black, or what's transparent turns opaque, and what's opaque turns transparent. And it ends up as a color positive image. I want to talk about some big generalizations. The big generalizations are that the slower your film, the finer grain, the finer detail, and the tinier the grain structure. So very small grains have a low light sensitivity, but they also produce very, very sharp edges because there are many little bits of grain that are making that image up. The fastest film, like Delta 3200 or Kodak T-Max 3200P or P3200, and I'll talk about what the P means when we get into the black and white film. they have much bigger crystals, so they are much more sensitive to light, but there are fewer of them. They're big, they're chunky, and you can see their edges. So the grain is much more visibly, it is in much more visible appearance. As we're going to talk about in the next episode, the one about black and white film, grain structure can be greatly affected by the type of developer used. There are some developers that make a more grainy, a more contrasty image. There are some that make a less grainy and less contrasty image. And there are some developers that work very well with fast films. There are some developers that work very well with slow films. And then there are some universal developers. And you can even make your own developer at home out of washing soda, instant coffee, and vitamin C powder. And then if you want to add, you can add in some other things like bromide. So little things. And bromide helps clear any fogging that you have. So that actually increases the crispness and it increases the contrast. In addition to speed in film, speed differences based on the size of the grain, there are two different types of grain structures that you'll find in film, and this is both in black and white and in color film. There are traditional crystals, which are irregular in shape. They're often kind of roundish, but not really round. So those crystals have an irregular shape, and when they fit together, say you have two crystals next to each other, they fit together in such a way that there's often a little bit of a gap between them. So they developed in I don't know exactly when they were developed, but in the late 1980s, I believe it was in the late 1980s, Kodak and Ilford came out with a line of films that used something called tabular grain. Now, tabular grain, also known as T-grain, triangular grain, or delta-shaped grain, is essentially a triangular-shaped crystal. And those triangular-shaped crystals can form together and make very large blocks of solid area very easily using less silver. So you might need a little bit extra of traditional grain in order to have an area block up, because you needed some of the grains to overlap each other in order to block up and hold an area as opaque, or on the other hand, be not in that area at all and make it completely transparent. So that T structure, that T grain, became Kodak T-Max, and T-Max today is sold in 100, 400, and 3200 speeds. Then Ilford makes Delta in 100, 400, and 3200 speeds. And Fuji Neopan, which was just recently discontinued, and it's still on the market, is also a T-grain film. And you would find that as 100 and 400 speed. And you can still find some on the market. And there's still some in 2019 that is what we call fresh. Milk, when you buy it from the store, has a freshness date. And that has to do with the natural enzymes that are in milk and the natural products that are in milk breaking down and starting to form cultures of bad stuff that'll make you sick. So after a certain date, you throw away your milk, or if you smell it and it smells sour, that's one of the nice things about milk, is it warns you ahead of time, but with a bad smell. You throw that away because it's no longer usable. It will make you sick. Well, film has an expiration date as well, but it is nowhere near the same kind of thing as milk. But it is the same process because it uses that natural gelatin material. So generally, film is considered fresh for a year and a half to 3 years after manufacture. So if you get film that says expires July 2019, it could have been made anywhere in 2017 or 2016. So somewhere in that range, that film was made. If the film is past expiration, it could still be good, or it could be bad. Now, there are a couple of things. Film can be stored in a freezer, and if you store it in a freezer, the film will stop degrading. In fact, I have some slide film that is from the 1980s that had been freezer kept, and I bought it on eBay in a large lot of film that I bought. I bought for something else, and this film happened to come in it, and I got 4 100-foot rolls of it, and I sold 2 of the 400-foot rolls and kept 2 of the 400-foot rolls. So I have plenty of this slide film available. And as I said, it's from the 1980s, and I shoot it, and it looks very, it looks just as good as the day that it was fresh. So you can stop film from degrading by putting it in the freezer. Now, this is 35 millimeter 120 4x5 film. Do not put instant film in the freezer. That the crystals can break open the packs, and that is just simply not good for them. So do not put them in the freezer. You can refrigerate it, but you do not want to freeze it. Now, just like, say, meat, although meat can continue to deteriorate in a freezer, just like meat, if you put it in the refrigerator, it will slow its decomposition, but it will continue to decompose. Film in the refrigerator kept at, say, 40 degrees Fahrenheit, 2 or 3 degrees Celsius, then that retards its degradation. And by retarding that degradation, it keeps it fresher for longer. And I usually figure that film stays fresh about 3 times as long. So you can leave it in the refrigerator for, say, up to 9 or 10 years, and it'll be just as good. If it is kept in hot locations, like in the trunk of your car or out in the shed or somewhere where it gets very hot, then that film will degrade much more quickly. In fact, your film can be still within date, still within the expiration date, and be hopelessly what I call burned by just improper exposure in very hot conditions. What you want to find on, say, an eBay listing for expired film, and I'm going to talk about expired film in its own complete episode, you want to look for something where somebody says freezer kept from the day I bought it. I bought several things that are like that. I have yet to be burned. Some people will say, I don't know how it was kept, or it was kept in somebody's basement for a while. Be wary. Okay, for color films, all color films in the Kodak line, at least, changed to the T-grain structure in the 1990s. So all color films are T-grain. The first T-grain films that I remember coming out from Kodak that were color film were the Ektar line, and you can still buy Ektar 125. We used to be able to buy Ektar 25, which was extremely fine grain, extremely true to life colors. It was a beautiful film, but they discontinued that long ago, unfortunately. Color films, unlike for black and white films, they all use the same process. All color print films today use a single developing process called C41. You can buy a C41 kit from many different people. Generally, in Europe, you buy the Tetnal kit, and it has a slightly different process from the Unicolor kit, which is available in North America. And I don't know what's available in Australia or other parts of Asia. I don't know whether Tetnal Tetnal or Unicolor are the chemical manufacturers of choice in those areas. The same thing is for color slide film. Color slide film uses the E6 process. One of the great advantages, it doesn't matter if you have color print film, it can be 25 speed Ektar and it can be 1600 speed Fuji and it can be an Agfa color print film. It can be Agfa Photo Vista, which is actually a Fuji branded, rebranded film. It can be any one of those and you can throw them in the same tank and they can all be developed at the same time because they have the same processing system. I'm going to go ahead and take a break at this point, and I'll be right back. It's important to keep in mind that the film speed, or the box speed, as we call it, is part of the exposure triangle. So common film speed stops that are available today are 25, 50, 100, 200, 400, 800. There is no 1600 that is currently being sold that is fresh, although there are old stocks of 1600 available. And then there's some 3200 speed film today. Now that actually, the 3200 speed is in black and white. It is not in color. Each one of these speeds represents a stop, just like the f-stop in the aperture and the shutter speed. If you choose 100 speed film, you might go out on a bright sunny day and set your camera to f16 at 1/125th of a second. 100 speed film, 1/125th of a second, that's as close as you really need to get. Those are a little bit off on stops, but they're close enough. And then you go out and you shoot that at f16. That's what we call the sunny 16 rule. If you instead use 25 speed film in the same conditions, you would set your camera to f16 and 1/30th. Same day using 400 speed film, f16, 1/500th of a second. So you see how that sunny 16 works. Those things are connected. The speed of your film and the speed of your shutters for the same exposure. Those are all three the same exposure. They would get the same result. Even though they're on different speed films, they would get the same basic exposure result. Similarly, at night, if you're using Delta 3200 for a street scene shot at night, it would be, say, 5.6 at 1/125th of a second, at 1/125th of a second. That same scene for Delta 400 would be f5.6 at 1/15th of a second. Now, let's count that down. 3200 to 400 is three stops. 3200, 1600, 800, 400. So that is three stops difference. 1/125th of a second down to 1/15th of a second is three stops as well. So it's 1/125th, 1/60th, 1/30th, and 1/15th. So that's three stops as well. Those two films at night would get about the same amount of relative exposure. Film speeds come not necessarily in whole round numbers. They also come in 1/3 stop increments. So they're just a little bit slower, just a little bit faster than the standard. If 100 is the standard and we go down 1/3 of a stop, that's 80 ISO. And that's the speed of film Ferrania P3 Alpha. And it's a film that a company in Italy, Film Ferrania, is producing right now, and they're in the process of getting a film company back up and running. And I highly recommend supporting them as much as you can. The more film companies we have out there, the better. Then 1/125 is the box speed for Ilford FP4 and Kodak Ektar. So it's 1/3 up from 100. 2/3 up from 100 is 160. I know these numbers remember, they're working at doubling rates, so these numbers are a little bit hard to follow. But once you work with them, you'll remember where they are. 160 is the film speed of Kodak Portra 160. It's not quite 200 speed film. It's faster than 125th. It's 160 speed film. 250 is the speed for Eastman 5222 or Kodak Double X. That's motion picture film, and it's very nice film. 320 is the speed for the 4x5 version of Tri-X, and so on. So you do get some film speeds that are in between. And if your film speed dial only lists, say, 100, 200, 400, if you look in there, you can usually set it to an in-between setting. Over the course of the 20th century, film speed has steadily increased. Cameras in the 1950s commonly topped out at 1/200th shutter speeds. That means that the fastest speed of film that they were ever finding was 200 speed film. Or maybe 125, it would be the film speed that were commonly in use. Most common speeds during this time were 25 ISO, 50 ISO, and 100 ISO, and that would be slow, medium, and fast film. So at this time, 100 speed film was pretty fast. Even in the 1970s, 400 speed film was the fast film. ISO 100 was in the middle ground. By the 1990s, 200 speed was middle ground, 100 speed was considered slow, 400 speed was considered middle fast. And in the late 20-teens today, generally I see that people kind of consider 400 speed film to be the standard. 100 and 200 speed film are slow. 25 and 50 speed are ultra slow. Then fast film is 800, 1600, and 3200. Film speeds have gotten faster over the time. Now, I want to give you a little bit of recommendation if you want to go out and buy your film today, and I haven't released the other episodes. So let's talk about a couple general films. Now, I'm going to recommend that 400 speed, because 400 speed film will allow you to shoot in bright light as long as you have a shutter speed of 1/500th of a second or faster. And if you choose a single lens reflex, it's going to have that. I chose those 400 speed films to fit within that range. You can also shoot that film in lower light situations, in shadows and closer to twilight, and you can get relatively good results with 400 speed film. So for color right now, I would suggest one of two brands that are available, and they're widely available. 400 speed Kodacolor Gold Max. And that's a really good, relatively cheap, and it is really a pretty good film. It really is a pretty good film. And also along the same lines, 400 speed Fujifilm Superia 400. Now, I don't know anything that is available in Canada or Europe. I believe in Canada, I heard that if you walk into Walmart, you can get Kodak Gold. But in the United States, if you walk into Walmart, you can get Fujifilm Superior 400. You can buy it in three packs. And it's not cheap, but it's relatively okay. And you can walk into Walmart and get it. Elsewhere in the world, I don't know. You know, actually, I was in England 2 years ago, summer of 17, and I walked into a Tesco and they had Ilford film. Back in the film developing area, they did have some Ilford film. So Tesco can have your film available as well. And I don't know whether like Boots still carries it or not. I don't think I've been in Boots in 30 years. So I don't remember about Boots. The films that you're looking for in the same speed in black and white are Kodak Tri-X and Ilford HP5. Which are both traditional grain films. Now, they have a very traditional look. That doesn't mean they're bad, but they're traditional grain. Kodak and Ilford also have two T-grain films, Kodak T-Max 400 and Kodak Delta 400. And those are very good films as well. These both will allow you, once again, to shoot inside And they'll allow you to shoot in low light and, you know, as long as you stay above 1/30th of a second. Below 1/30th of a second on your camera, you start to shake. And most people have hand shake problems with film, with images at that speed. In the next episode, we're going to talk about black and white films. And then in the following episodes, we're going to talk about color print film, color slide film, and specialty expired film. If you have any questions, I have a once monthly podcast of questions and answers. If you have a question, go to the website, getstartedwithfilm.com, and fill out the form, or send me an email, graham@getstartedwithfilm.com, and that's spelled graham@getstartedwithfilm.com, and put in the subject line whatever the subject of the question is, so I know how to organize each question. If you are on Instagram, you can follow the feed of the show at getstartedwithfilm. If you hashtag your posts, Get Started With Film, I have a pretty good chance of seeing your work, and I might feature it in the show's feed. Our music comes from filmmusic.io. This track is Poofy Reel by Kevin McLeod of Incomptech.com, and it's licensed through Creative Commons.